Hello. Have you ever wondered what makes some transformation programs work whilst others die a slow, painful death? I asked Ian Sherwood, Director of Transformation and Proposal Management Consultant 26-2. What is the difference that makes the difference?
It's a good question. Over the years, I've become interested in what makes change stick, having worked in organisations as a change manager and with organisations as a consultant, in trying to improve business winning practices, and in particular improve win rates. I know the value that many organisations attach to change and transformation programmes, and of course the investment they make in them. I also know the challenges organisations face when they try to sell the benefits of change to their stakeholders. And, you know, it's understandable why some clients are reluctant to engage on transformation programs. In many cases, they've done it all before. You'll recognize the scenario. You know, there's a big kickoff event, training courses are scheduled, the team is G'd up by management who invested heavily in time, money, reputation in trying to implement the change. They take their team off the day job to train them, and then they wait for change to magically happen. And that initial motivation that the team has lasts probably a couple of months at best, gradually withers as the day job, what Chesney, Covey and Hulling call the whirlwind in the four disciplines of executions, as that day job gets in the way of change, and eventually the urgent activities in doing the day job simply outtrump the important activities of the transformation. So the organisation ends up with nothing to show for its investment. So, you know, why would they take the risk and try again? And, you know, the problem isn't generally their people. W. Edwards Denning, the American productivity expert, famously said, you know, at any time the majority of people behave in a particular way, the majority of the time, the people aren't the problem. The problem is generally inherent in the system.
Okay, so when it comes to implementing change, what is the problem inherent in that system?
Let me quote Ram Charan, who writes in his book Execution, The Discipline of Getting Things Done, that his belief is that, you know, some 70% of strategic failures are due to poor execution. At 26-2, we've studied much of the existing research around execution and engagement and how it applies to bid and proposal management. And I have to say the research is fairly clear. You know, failure is rarely the result of poor strategy, nor the calibre of the people. An engaged team following an imperfect strategy will be a disengaged team with a perfect strategy every time. Transformation and change programs tend to fail because of poor execution.
So what is it about execution that is so difficult?
I think the problems inherent in execution change could be summarized in three statements. Firstly, we don't engage fully with the people we want to change. Secondly, we try to change everything and end up throwing away the good with the poor and starting all again. And finally, related to that, we try and change everything all at once, usually in a big bang approach.
Okay. So can you tell us some more about why change fails then?
I think the number one reason is lack of stakeholder engagement. People who feel, you know, transformation is being done to them and then have no stake in the success of the program. And without that buy-in, stakeholders are bound to exhibit low levels of engagement, but generally distracted by other priorities, and your project of the month end up dying a slow, painful and somewhat inevitable death. But without involvement, how can you get commitment? It's not just involvement having a say in what the end game looks like, you know, the solution. People also need to buy into the need for change in the first place. There's a very interesting book Chris McGough writes in his book The Primes, where he talks about the need to spend as much time evaluating the current situation as on creating a future solution if you're going to take those people with you on that program. And we've learned from our clients how increased engagement impacts on the effectiveness of the whole change program. It doesn't matter whether the issue is mission critical or cosmetic. You know, the success of the intervention is directly proportional to the level of stakeholder engagement. The greater the engagement, the greater the success of the change program.
Well, bidding and proposal management certainly is mission critical for every organisation. Many have invested heavily to improve their win rates. From your experience, can you describe a typical approach?
Yeah, typically, you know, this is how it goes. and you'll recognise the scenario. You know, win rates are at unacceptable levels, unacceptably low levels. The senior team meet, they decide what to do, they document that, they draw up a grand action plan. As part of that, training is booked, usually from one of the organisations on the approved list. The team is chased to attend the training. Training is delivered. Everyone has a great time on the training. The training is scored highly. And yet, when the effectiveness of the training is evaluated a few months later, win rates are still the same, or maybe even slightly worse. Digging deeper, you start to reveal that actually the training has done nothing to change the behaviour of the team. In fact, you know, people slipped straight back into the familiar ways of working almost immediately. The return on investment on that training is virtually zero.
So what goes wrong?
I think three things. Firstly, that there's no engagement with the team who you wanted to change. No real understanding of that team. The team itself feels no commitment or connection with the change program because they're not engaged. And the team didn't know what they were supposed to do differently after that intervention.
So that's very interesting. What do organisations have to do to effectively engage with their stakeholders? You mentioned this word engagement a couple of times now.
Yeah, no, I think it's incredibly important. An effective engagement means spending as much time, as we just said, discussing and evaluating the current situation as on creating and developing a solution. Practically, you know, that means finding a balance between getting bogged down analysing the current problem and swept up in the exciting vision of the future. At the same time, of course, trying to keep focused those people who just want to get on with the real work, the day job. And I think benchmarking an organisation's bid and proposal management capability can help to engage effectively.
Before I ask you about capability benchmarking, you mentioned another critical factor that can compromise the success of a change programme. Would you like to tell us a bit more about your experience there?
Yeah, sure. The other two main reasons we talked about why organisations fail to execute is that they try to change everything and they try to do it all at the same time. And you can imagine the resulting lack of focus dissipates the team's energy and causes confusion and ultimately, of course, leads to failure. Even when we engage effectively, there are other principles of work which could conspire against us when we try to implement the change, but which we can actually harness to significantly increase our chances of success. What we know doesn't work is trying to change everything all at the same time. As you can imagine, you know, the first thing we need to understand is that we forget what we are taught very quickly if we don't use it or if it's not relevant.
That's very true. Can you give us an example of where you've seen that in your work with clients?
Well, you know, think of a training course, Bruce, that you attended recently. You know, what do you remember from that course that you can practically apply in your job today? Having thought of that, you know, think even further back to a course you attended several months, maybe a year ago, maybe last year. Can you even remember the name of the course? The truth is that one-off training intending to create new behaviours simply doesn't work without reinforcement. And it's an uncomfortable truth that most training providers won't tell you. And the reason for that not working is to do with the nature of memory retention. The rate at which we forget new material is actually exponential. That means that the fastest rate of decay occurs immediately after we've learned something new. We end up forgetting like 50% in a matter of days, 90% or more within a month to 6 weeks, unless we reinforce it and put it to good use. So instead of trying to change everything all at the same time, a far more effective strategy would be to focus on one or two new behaviours and reinforce the learning until that new behaviour is fully embedded into the organisation. So, you know, in the same way that we might eat an elephant one bite at a time, we could improve win rates by tackling just one capability at a time.
When you've got so many stakeholders, each with an opinion, how do you identify which capability to choose?
I think you need to start by answering the question, you know, what one capability must be improved to make the biggest impact on our win rate. And when we look at how to improve proposal management capability, you know, remember the Pareto principle, the 80-20 rule, and that 80% of the benefits will come from 20% of the improvement initiatives. The trick, of course, is to figure out which 20% are going to be effective. And by benchmarking existing capability, you can easily identify the capabilities on which to focus and those which will have that biggest and most immediate impact on your win rates.
Okay, so you've mentioned capability benchmarking a couple of times. Can you explain a little bit more how it can contribute to a successful transformation program?
We know that benchmarking provides the level of engagement and focus needed to, you know, successfully implement a change or transformation program. And in many sectors, benchmarking is considered the key to continuous improvement and competitive advantage.
But benchmarking is not without its critics, is it?
No, absolutely. You know, some believe benchmarking is unnecessary, usually because senior people within the organisation already believe that they know the level of capabilities in their organisations, or they simply want to get on with the implementation, or they don't believe that benchmarking will produce any useful insights that they can act on. But as we know, for implementation to succeed, all stakeholders need to be engaged, and equal time needs to be invested in understanding the current situation as creating a vision for the future. Now, a high-level viewpoint is not going to capture the full picture across an organisation and simply risks overlooking, you know, the pockets of existing good practice that you really want to keep and that should be retained and expanded on.
So what do you consider to be the hallmarks of good benchmarking?
Now, I think any approach should be, firstly, robust, credible, comprehensive, based on industry best practice, and or calibrated against the organisation's previous performance. I think it needs to be flexible to accommodate existing practices. You need to understand the environment that that change has to work within. It needs to be repeatable to enable meaningful comparisons between business units or before and after specific interventions so you can measure progress. It needs to be scalable for one team of 20 or 20 teams across an entire enterprise. Simple, quick to implement, keep the cost down, and you know, designed to clearly identify where you are now and highlight priority areas for most rapid improvement. I've got an old friend of mine who's constantly telling me you can't manage what you can't measure. With the benchmark, you should produce measures that can be both influenced by the team and are predictive of future results. You know, there's nothing more demoralising to a team than to be measured by results over which they have no influence.
There's lots of, we've covered lots on this brief interview. How would you like to summarise, Ian?
Bruce, I think capability benchmarking is a really useful tool in the battle to make change stick. Our own experience is that in creating a capability benchmarking tool to help organisations solve the problem of focus, we've discovered at the same time that that tool also maximises stakeholder engagement. And without effective engagement and focus, change programmes are almost destined to fail. The following three steps could increase the odds at which your change programme will work. Engage. Involve all stakeholders. Ask, listen, get feedback, validate, repeat if necessary. Focus on the one or two things that will make the biggest difference. And then implement one change at a time to make sure that they are entirely embedded.
Are you passionate about capability benchmarking?
I think we're passionate about transformation. And you know, I believe that capability benchmarking is a tool and a key that can unlock an organization's business winning potential in an efficient and effective way.
Thank you, Ian. I've been talking with Ian Sherwood, Transformation Director at Proposal Management Consultants 26-2, about the benefits of capability benchmarking. Thank you for listening.